This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host this evening, Margaret McConnell. Tonight's guest is Liz Phones, Executive Director with Girls on the Run Lehigh Valley and Pocono. Joining her is Melissa Douches, teacher at Spring Garden Elementary, who is a volunteer coach, and Devin Helmer, who is a previous Girls on the Run participant and became a junior coach in high school. She graduated from Emmaus High School and is now a sophomore at Penn State. Girls on the Run is a physical activity program that uses running as a way to reach girls at a critical stage, strengthening their confidence at a time when society begins to tell them they can't. Underscoring the important connection between physical and emotional health, their programs address the whole girl when she needs it the most. Welcome to the program. Liz, what inspired the founding of Girls on the Run, and what is its core mission?
Well, first, thanks so much for having us, Margaret, and for featuring Girls on the Run. Girls on the Run is part of a national organization that now serves girls in approximately 175 locations across the United States and one location in Canada. It was founded by Molly Barker, who is an educator and a former Ironman triathlete, who started the program back in 1996 in Charlotte, North Carolina. She piloted the earliest version of the Girls on the Run curriculum with just 13 little girls, and it has grown to now serve over 2.5 million girls across the country since 2000.
Wow.
It was inspired by the critical need for girls to form positive adult relationships, to build confidence, and to gain important social and emotional tools at an early age. So the core mission of Girls on the Run is to inspire girls in third to eighth grade to be joyful, healthy, and confident using the research-based curriculum that engages participants through games and running. Locally, Girls on the Run started as an affiliate council of Girls on the Run International in 2007 with Diakon Child, Family, and Community Ministries acting as our fiscal sponsor. And then in 2022, Girls on the Run Lehigh Valley became independent from Diakon, eventually merging with Girls on the Run Pocono to form what is our current territory. And we're predicting that we will serve close to 1,800 girls this school year.
Wow. What about all these the different programs? Tell us about the programs you have.
So our programs are 90% hosted in schools, maybe even more than that, the majority in schools, small percent hosted at local parks and community centers. We have three programs. Girls on the Run is for third to fifth grade girls. Heart and Soul is the middle school age, so sixth to eighth grade program. And then those programs are typically for 10 weeks, twice per week for 90 minutes, spring and fall. And they each end with the girls coming together from all the program sites to complete the Girls on the Run 5K, which locally is sponsored by St. Luke's. And then we also have a summer program called Camp Girls on the Run. That's for rising third to fifth grade girls. And each of the curriculum is set up very similar, but it's age appropriate for that particular age group.
Great. So Melissa, tell us how Girls on the Run program works. Can you walk us through what a typical session is like?
Sure. So like Liz said, we meet for 10 weeks, 2 days a week for 90 minutes. And in every practice, there is a lesson that's theme-based. So we start out with themes that are like about the girl and herself, her inner self. And then it moves on to having relationships with others and then being part of a community. So within that lesson and that theme, they do a little bit of learning about that theme. And then we do like an interactive game, a warm-up, and then we go into our workout, which also connects to the theme so that the girls can practice. And then we have a closing where we debrief and talk about what they learned. And then at the end, we give them a GOTR goal. So they have a goal to use that theme that we learned in that lesson before the next practice. And at the beginning of the next practice, we talk about that. So there's a little bit of running involved, a little bit of games, a little bit of discussion. And that's how a typical 90-minute session would look.
And you said GOATR is the acronym then for Girls on the Run. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. I didn't know if maybe goats were involved in some way, which would make it really exciting. Liz, can you tell us what age groups Girls on the Run primarily serves and why those age groups were chosen? And you did give us a little of this before.
Yeah, so third to eighth grade, so approximately 8 to at the highest 14, mostly 9 to 13, I would say, is what we're serving. But these age groups were chosen because the research shows, we're a research-based program, it shows that girls start to experience bullying and negative self-esteem as early as age 9, unfortunately. And their overall confidence levels are decreasing by 30% by the age of 14. Those numbers are really scary to me. And by age 13, 50% of girls have experienced some type of bullying. So that research is very critical in what we're doing. In addition to that, 85% of adolescent girls are failing to meet the recommended daily standard of 60 minutes of daily physical activity. So the physical activity piece weighs in very important to what we're doing.
Yes, and I'm sure that the prevalence of social media has really made this much more difficult for girls and having self-confidence. So that's great. How do you ensure the program is accessible to all girls, regardless of their background or physical ability?
So Girls on the Run, we're very proud to be able to serve the whole community. And we work very hard to remove any barriers to participation. That includes financial barriers, physical barriers, emotional, transportation, et cetera. So every family that wants to take part in our program has the opportunity to receive financial assistance when they register by using our sliding scale, and that's based on household income. In addition, some of our program sites receive full scholarships for the whole team because we have a grant that allows for that. We're very grateful to have some tremendous supporters in the community that allow us to do that. Girls on the Run International has also provided us with lesson adaptations for those with physical and intellectual disabilities. So our coaches have resources to be able to, you know, learn about the best way to deliver the curriculum for every girl.
That's terrific. And what are some of the key benefits that participants experience from being part of Girls on the Run? Melissa and Devin, you know, feel free to chime in. I'm going to let Liz go first, but then if you'd like to add anything.
Yeah, definitely you guys will be able to add to this. But, you know, just off the top of my head, girls are making new friends. That's a huge piece of this. But they're also learning tools for their physical and emotional toolbox, as we say in the program, such as learning to pause before reacting. You know how we all have that knee-jerk reaction sometimes. So we're giving them tools on how to react to certain situations, how to appropriately use their voice to stand up for themselves and to stand up for others that they believe in. They're developing important, you know, girl to mentor relationships through the coaches and fitness really for their whole family. Sometimes the girls that are in the program, and Melissa, I know you can speak to this directly, Devin as well, that we a lot of times see the whole family getting involved and getting active, and that is truly makes us a community organization.
Yeah, I can definitely add to that too. I know we've talked about confidence a lot already, but I think for some of the girls, it's the first time that they've ever had a chance to like self-reflect and look at themselves as a, you know, strong, successful part of a community or a classroom, school, or whatever. So I think that it helps them feel that they're part of something and it's really important to them. And having strong role models is important to them as well. So all of our coaches or junior coaches or volunteers are all strong mentors and leaders, whether they're a woman or a man. And it helps the girls to have somebody to look up to or to come to with problems. And definitely, I have seen the girls use the strategies that they learn in Girls on the Run outside of Girls on the Run. So that's always like, that's always really great to see. Like Liz said, they're using their GOATR toolbox when they're not in GOATR, and that's the whole point. So I like to see those strategies using it independently.
Melissa, I think the ripple effect is really important. And as like Liz said, like with some of these girls, the family gets involved. I've seen a number of times at practice, especially when I coached at Grange Park outdoors, like the parents would come and they'd be doing laps and they'd be, you know, there's a running buddy figure in someone's life who wants to get in shape with the girl to be able to complete that 5K with them at the end. And I think it's so cool to see that and for them to go and tell their friends at school about what they're learning, because it's not just impacting them, it's impacting those in the circle around them.
Right, right. So you mentioned, Melissa, that you have male coaches as well. So this isn't just women and girls involved in this.
Yeah. And also running buddies too. Like a lot of, for the 5K, a lot of the girls will say, well, can my dad do it? Or my uncle or my brother? Like we always say, yes, it could be whoever you want. It's, you know, it's your running buddy. So I think it's good for both males and females to be involved so the girls can see those different types of role models.
Yeah, that's cool. Devin, can you talk about your experience with the program and share any additional success stories or testimonials from girls who have participated?
Absolutely. So I've seen pretty much every angle of this because I was a participant myself. I did the program at the Swain School in third and fourth grade. I ran as a running buddy for my mom when she coached at Washington Elementary for a couple years. Completed 3 seasons as a junior coach and now going to be a sophomore at Penn State. And my sorority, Gamma Phi Beta, is the national sponsor of Girls on the Run. It's a very full circle thing in my life, and it's a very central theme in a lot of what I do. And I think that I've seen so many girls learn and grow throughout this, and it's so cool to make those meaningful connections with them and watch them like come out of their shell or just change and grow throughout the season. And I think it's been so cool because so many ways when I was junior coaching, I was doing the same thing. So they were helping me as much as I was helping them. And I think that that's a unique experience that I was so fortunate to have in my role as a junior coach. I don't want to put words into anyone's mouth, so I'm not going to like specifically share a girl's experience. But what I can say is that this was incredibly pivotal in my development, my third and fourth grade self. I was someone who struggled with body image and being active and everything like that from a young age, and having this program in my life in third and fourth grade, but also throughout high school, I was learning with the girls. When I was teaching them the lessons, I was also taking it in myself. Like this has been so pivotal into me getting to where I am today and creating a healthy relationship with my body and physical activity. And that's something that I'm going to carry with me throughout the rest of my life.
That's really cool to hear. Liz, how do you measure the impact of the program on participants' physical and emotional health?
I might need a tissue first. I remember that little girl in third grade, Devin. It's been a few moments. Yeah, so each season we distribute electronic surveys to the caregivers and coaches. So we're getting feedback from them that way. In addition, participants are receiving pre and post surveys that they complete at the beginning of the program and then at the very last practice. And those surveys are then taken by a group at DeSales University. They analyze them, they give us the feedback, and it shows us, you know, quantitative and qualitative data about the program, what's working, what's not. Even specific schools, maybe where we could see there might be some issues going on, we can address that. But it's an awesome relationship that we have with DeSales. Very grateful for that, to be able to show the research and show the results of the program.
Now, is that kind of partnership common throughout the organization, or is it unique to your chapter here?
I like to say we were definitely one of the first to have that opportunity and have shared the process with other Girls in the Run councils. And I know that now there are many out there that do that. It's a great experience for the college students because they're seeing what it's like to be part of a nonprofit organization in general, but then also it's really important data. So they're part of something very important.
Yeah, that's great. And it's good to be able to partner with, we have so many colleges and universities in the Lehigh Valley. So lots of young brains.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the biggest challenges that Girls on the Run faces in its mission?
So in our, I don't know if this is really answering your question 100%, but our biggest challenge is always having enough volunteers to run the program. If we don't have volunteer coaches, we can't have a program. So if Melissa was the principal at Spring Garden Elementary and she said, I want girls in the run at my school, and there weren't any coaches to coach the program, then we wouldn't be able to have the program. That's kind of a prerequisite. So, you know, we're always looking for volunteers, and it is a big commitment. I always say, and Melissa, I think you could probably back me up, but once you experience the program one time as a volunteer coach, you're going to want to come back. It's just an incredible experience. Like Devin articulated so well, the girls are teaching us just as much as we're teaching them by being coaches. So that's, to me, that's our biggest challenge. We also, you know, in completing our mission of being able to provide the program to any participant who wants to participate, then another barrier for us is funding. So constant fundraising is happening so that we continue with that.
Right, right. So where do you find your volunteers? How do you do that outreach?
Everywhere, always. You know, I'm always talking about Girls in the Run. We do a lot of outreach through social media. We spend a lot of time at outreach events, tabling events, anywhere we can get the word out, we're looking for volunteers. Our coaches are our best ambassadors. So we're always telling them, please share the information, bring a friend, that sort of thing.
And I imagine it's easy to get involved by going on your website, or there's probably contact information there.
Yeah. And, you know, the one probably most important thing I would say to somebody that thinks that maybe Girls in the Run is not for them because they're not a runner, 100% you don't have to be a runner. We have coaches of all shapes and sizes and ages. And like Melissa said, you don't have to be a female. You can be a male, and you don't have to love running. You don't really even have to like it. You just want to be want to help people, help young kids, you know, become stronger and healthier.
I'm really glad you made that point, because I think that's important when you're thinking about volunteering and you think, well, I don't really do any of that stuff, so why would I help in that area? But, you know, certainly you can volunteer, and helping girls with their self-confidence is a reward.
Exactly.
Melissa, as a coach and a teacher, what benefits have you seen in students as a result of participation? Also, how have you personally been inspired by being a coach?
Yeah, I think the thing that I've seen the most is the confidence increasing in the girls in all areas of their lives. So as I kind of said before, we start out with like self-confidence building. So for example, one of our themes of our lessons is beautiful, but like the you is emphasized. So they learn to see themselves as beautiful and feel confident. So then when they're ready to go have relationships or friendships with others, they feel confident in themselves and confident going out there and making friends and expressing themselves. And then they feel confident as a leader, because at the end of the season, we do a community impact project that the girls choose and facilitate. So they choose something that's important to them in their world, in their community. They do something to help. So I think for a lot of girls, it gives them a connection, and then it makes them want to come to school. So that's one of the things that I've seen the most as a teacher and a coach, are my girls being excited, making new friends, and just having more enthusiasm when they're in school as well. And then I think physical and emotional health go hand in hand with Girls on the Run. So some girls, like especially after COVID, there was a lot of, you know, like mental health distress and things like that. So I think just having a place at Girls on the Run to let out your stress and be with a safe group was really helpful for a lot of girls. And then for myself, it really is like what Devin said exactly. The themes are not just for the girls, they're for adults too. Like you can really learn with the girls. And as you're doing these, as I'm doing the lessons, usually I think in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, this relates exactly to this situation in my life. And I guess since I'm teaching this, I should also be doing this in my life. So a lot of the things can be related to, but another thing that inspires me is that these girls are like the future of our society. And I didn't have this program when I was a kid, and I really could have used it. So these girls are already a step ahead, coming out stronger, coming out more confident, and going out into the world like that. So that's very inspiring to me. And that's why I always come back year after year to the program, because I want to give that to as many girls as I can.
It's a great lesson of do as I say, not as I do. Yeah. Liz, can you describe the training and support that's provided to volunteers and coaches?
So all new coaches go through our national coach training, which is developed through Girls on the Run International. That means they're doing a 3 to 4 hour online training, which is giving them different tools than if the, you know, for Melissa as being a teacher, it's different tools than you're using in a classroom to deliver a curriculum. We always say, take your teacher hat off and just be Girls on the Run coach. So they're doing those online training modules, and then that's followed up by an in-person training where coaches are coming together. We're practicing a lesson. They're learning about the administrative side of being a coach, because there is some, you know, administrative type things that happen throughout the season. It's very thorough, as it should be when you're working with children, especially. But we want the coaches to have the confidence to deliver the curriculum as it's intended. We also require one coach at each of our sites to be CPR and first aid certified. That's a mouthful, which we provide to them free of charge. So that's kind of a nice perk of the program.
Yeah, definitely. Devin, can you explain your role as a junior coach?
So to best describe the role of a junior coach, I would use the term middleman. So I'm not, as a junior coach, I'm not in charge of everything. I don't have as much responsibility as a head coach. However, I still bear a lot of responsibility in being prepared for practice. But I think it's really neat for these young girls to see someone closer to their age in a position of leadership and kind of practicing using their voice and these things. And I've been so lucky to, every time I've had the opportunity to be a junior coach, all of my co-coaches have been so pro me taking over, me using my voice, giving me all the opportunities and tools I need in order to best perform at that role. So whether it was one day I was starting small, I was leading the warm up, other days I was leading the game before the workout or the activity of the day, like it was just neat to be able to grow alongside the girls throughout the season. I also think in terms of sometimes it's cool for them to have kind of an older sister figure in the picture for that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's kind of a step up. You know, you see your head coach, but then you have people that are closer and more relative to you. So Liz, you mentioned before the need for support from the community. What role do community partnerships play in the success of this program?
Community partners are extremely supportive and important in order for us to be able to have that, you know, across the board, that nobody is turned away because they can't afford the registration fee is really, you know, the key to the community partnerships. They're allowing us to provide those scholarships. Last school year, we gave over $100,000 in scholarships, and that's because we have that community support. We wouldn't be able to do that without it.
Wow. Yeah, that's really great. And you mentioned that St. Luke's is a partner and also is a partner with WDIY. So they're great community partners all around. How is the program funded? Like, what are all the sources, and how can individuals or organizations support the mission financially?
There's several ways we apply for grants. We have some wonderful supporters that way. The United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley is, you know, one of our major grantors. The Women's 5K Classic was the first supporter that we ever had back in 2007. Highmark has been a supporter for a long time. Two Rivers Health and Wellness Foundation, Stabler Foundation. We have some really wonderful, you know, local grants that help with those scholarships. And then in addition, we have great opportunities through our 5K events. So we have a very large territory. You know, locally, we have a 5K every spring and every fall at DeSales University. But then in addition, in our northern territories, we have two other 5Ks each season. So there's six 5Ks in total every year. So you can imagine that's a really great sponsorship opportunity And so anybody can find out more information about that by contacting me directly.
That's a lot of 5Ks.
Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of volunteers needed.
Yes, definitely. So this show is about helping people get active and showing them all the ways that they can be active in the Lehigh Valley. How does a person sign up and get involved in your program?
So the best way to find out more information would be go to our website at gotrlehighpocono.org. And you can search around on our website. You can register for the program. You can sign up to be a coach. And there's also an email address on our website that's a general email where we can direct you to the right location.
So the students that sign up, or the young girls, I guess I should call them young girls that sign up, they don't have to be associated with a school that is running a program?
It really depends on the location. Most schools in the Lehigh Valley area, the girls need to attend that particular school. And then, for example, where Devin coached at Grange Park, in Lower Macungie, that's for any girl from any school. So it really just depends on the site. In like Monroe County, a lot of those sites, they don't have to be at the school. So just depends.
So we're almost out of time, but to wrap up, is there anything else that any of you would like to add that our audience should know about this program? I'll start with Devin.
I just think it's a great thing to get involved in, whether you're a kid or an adult. And I think it's something that definitely shapes the lives of those who participate with it.
Melissa?
I would say if somebody wants to sort of leave a legacy of helping others to achieve their own self-confidence and success, Girls on the Run is a great way to do that. And once you become part of the program, you probably will want to keep doing it.
That's awesome. I love the word legacy. Any last thoughts, Liz?
It's life-changing. Truly, I it has been life-changing for me and for, you know, almost everybody that I know that has been involved in the organization. So we welcome any and all to be part of it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing how our Lehigh Valley residents can get active with Girls on the Run. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell. If you would like to listen to this program again, you can go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app or your favorite podcast platform where all of our shows are housed forever. Thanks again for listening. Have a good night.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.